2017 was lightning in a bottle. I mean, that's maybe magic we can only recreate, and that's we didn't build to that. And I say we, I wasn't there before. We didn't build to that. It just kind of happened. And then there was a regression to the mean, and now here it is, and it looks like the window's kind of closed. They're not a good football team right now. We had a veteran infusion in 17. We had a dynamic mixture of Doug and Frank Reich. We had two of the best offensive and defensive lines in football. And we were a bully, and there was never panic. Like in a situation like yesterday, we don't panic because we were good.
That's Chris Long on his podcast.
Woo!
Listen, he couldn't have said it any better right
talk
there.
Talk that talk, C. Long. Talk it.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, like, even though some people, me included, had an inflated prediction or just what this team was going to be this year, and you just look at the team, he's right. Their offensive line, their defensive line, 2017, mercenaries were kind of brought in from one-year contracts, veterans. I mean, it was lightning in a bottle for that 1 year. And they were great. They were good, right? And then Frank Reich leaves. And from there, guys get older. Guys are, you know, kind of get fat on their contracts or their accomplishments. And you are where you are right now.
But the real issue is that the Eagles didn't realize it was lightning in a bottle.
Well.
Because they tried to build off of it.
Yeah.
They tried to build off of it.
They certainly did.
I mean, you talk about contracts given out afterwards. Money guaranteed afterwards? I mean, I don't know if there's a contract that has worked since that Super Bowl. And that includes Carson. I mean, you got people sitting here second-guessing whether or not, should we have given him an extension? Now we're tied to him. Is he the guy? I'm not sitting here saying that, but you could make the argument when you talk about contracts that were given out after that Super Bowl, and he earned his contract in part because he went 11-2 that year, and the organization realized he's younger and realized, or they thought at that time, why can't he duplicate what he did prior to getting injured? So they pretty much were caught in 2017.
Yep. Window open. Let's go for another shot.
Because think about it. They gave him the contract after 18, after he re-injured himself.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Alshon that contract in, what, 18? Or was it 19 they guaranteed the money?
Well,
he got a new contract
after the Super Bowl.
Well, he got the extension. No, he got the extension during the year.
Was it during the year?
Yes, it was late in the year that he got that extension.
And part of that may have been that they're saying, we appreciate you playing through a shoulder that is totally torn. Your rotator cuff.
No, they thought he was going to be the guy for the next 3 to 4 years. Went in.
Well,
here's what I mean by that, though, John. They didn't think that when they signed him for the 1 year. They weren't sure about him. He's coming off of injuries in consecutive years.
Yeah, their initial instinct was right.
Exactly. That's the point I'm making. Yeah. The initial instinct was right. It's when that season clouded everything. Not only did you give Alshon the extension, 2 years later, you guarantee him the money.
Yep.
To where you can't get rid of him. So, if people, we love Brandon. And Matt Mike is kind of hard on Brandon, in my opinion. But his general point is, you paid Brandon Graham for what he did in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Is why you paid him.
That's part of it.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's part of it.
No doubt about it. I mean, you give a guy $13, $14, $15 million a year, he's never been to a Pro Bowl or had double-digit sacks. What other reason did you pay him?
You know, I mean, they came out and more or less said that those things matter to them when deciding whether to bring them back or not.
Yep.
It mattered to them. I mean,
don't get me started on Jason Peters. Don't get me started on him. I'm just saying, but they brought him back.
Yeah. It's time to
cut bait with that, man, and
move
on.
It is. Absolutely.
And move on.
All right, our Twitter question today brought to you by Mark Schuler's. If you're thinking of getting engaged, you have to visit Mark Schuler's and their 25,000-square-foot showroom online, mark-jewelers.com. What is the most overrated play in sports history? So answer that when you call in and talk. Let's do it. Let's go to Al in Uptown. What's up, Uptown Al?
What's going on, Johnny Marks?
What's up, brother?
I agree.
What's up, Uptown
Al?
You
got me. You told me I couldn't join the LTB community. I'm in. Everybody's jumping ship. I'm in.
You're in, Al.
This turned around.
I'm losing membership, too. I'm losing people. They're trying to jump out of the membership. You're in, Al.
They're not coming to meetings, right?
Yeah, I'll come to meetings. I'll come to meetings. Right. I think this gets turned around. I just do. I don't know why. I feel like it's going to get turned around, honestly. It's not logic that I'm using. I may just be, you know, the super fan right now.
Right.
But for some reason, I've seen things that were integral in that game that made me feel like, hey, you know, the ball bounces this way, you know, we get the win there. And that's just, I don't know. I got a weird feeling that we're going to rattle off some wins. I think we're going to win three in a row.
Wow.
Well, hell, you might as well. Three in a row. We're going to catch everybody sleeping. They're going to be like, it's the Eagles. You know, they're going to screw it up eventually. And that's when we go off. I don't know. I see it happening that way. I could be 100% wrong. But, you know.
No, I mean, listen.
Thanks, Al.
Got to admire you for keeping the faith, Al. Got to admire you for keeping the faith. But now you need the team to go out and do their part.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you go three straight weeks with a team playing like this. It took that type of play to get the fan base where they are right now. So they aren't going to necessarily flip a switch if the Eagles go out there and beat San Francisco on Sunday. And all of a sudden, everybody's back on the bandwagon waving pom-poms. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to put together a few wins. But you can't put together a few without getting the first one.
Yep.
You got to get the first win.
They desperately need a win for everybody. For everybody. Not just the – I mean, the players.
Yeah,
just
for
like,
themselves.
All right, you know what?
Yeah.
We're not done yet. I mean, I don't expect it.
Listen, my only thing is it's been a long time since the season has been well – 0-2-1. Listen, we're half a game from being where we were last year, heading to Green Bay.
That's true.
That Detroit loss, consecutive losses, losing it to Atlanta in Atlanta and then coming home, losing to Detroit, 7 drops in the game, the blocked field goal, they got a penalty on it and brought it back. I mean, I can remember that much. Like, that Thursday couldn't get here fast enough. But at the same time, there was a nervousness because you're like,
if they don't do it here, then they're 1-3.
Yeah, now they're 1-3, no. And can they really beat Green Bay in Green Bay on a short week?
Well, if you and from what I remember from the game, Carson didn't have to go out and win the game by himself. He kind of managed the game, and the Eagles were the better team. They went up there and won the game. So,
well, they were fortunate because Aaron Rodgers threw for 400 yards and
what's his name was out of the game in the
Davante Adams.
Davante
yes.
Adams was who was just yes. was just. Truck and Devontae
Maddox.
He
was killing everybody,
yeah.
But they got the win is the point.
They found a way to win the game, which is something they haven't done so far this year.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Scott and Delco. Scotty, what's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Scott.
What's up, Scott?
I want to apologize in advance for this coming Sunday.
Oh. Heads up. do we play each other?
Yes, sir. Yes, we do.
Okay. I'm still reeling off the loss I had last week, but okay.
Hey, man. No, no worries. No hard feelings. Just you know, just giving you a little love there.
Okay. I appreciate
it. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, glad I could help, man. No, I mean, as far as teams that are jammed up right now, I mean, obviously, yeah, the Eagles look a little crazy. And we know what the Phillies are, but I got to think the Sixers are the biggest mess. I mean, between the process that was kind of held up and you really, really have nothing to show for it. I mean, you have 2 players that everybody's talking about which one to trade to get out of town and try to do another rebuild, and that was what the whole process. You lost all those years for nothing. It's to me that organization. Yeah, Doc Rivers, give him a little oomph. Be a coach that somebody might believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there to help your team lose? I would take him.
But you're saying ultimately this team. It has a ceiling, and it's not NBA Finals. It's not you still have a disbelief that this unit actually works together as a unit.
No, exactly. I mean, it's basically 2 players. I mean,
right.
Again, a little while back, I remember saying that year you got beat up by the Celtics, you had depth. You had a lot more going on. You had the assets and all that stuff. And then, you know, a popped collar and a burner account later, you got nothing to show for it.
Bob collar.
Well, I think there was 4 burner accounts or something like that. But
yeah, give or take. Yeah, it was his fault. You know, it always is.
Oh, but man. See, Scott, like the one thing about Doc Rivers coming into town, if he does get the job, is that I want to, and Doug Collins isn't the best example, but Doug Collins, when he came in that first year, he turned a team that was bad the year before, essentially with the same personnel, into a playoff team. Because he did that because he was a professional coach, right? Like, he knew roles. They played defense for him, right? Like, Doc Rivers, I think, instantaneously will make that team a lot different. Guys are going to be doing the same kind of stuff they got away with Brett Brown. So ultimately, does that mean that he can turn them into a title contender? You know, one thing I will say is that I'll feel better if Doc Rivers signs off on trading one of the guys rather than just saying, well, you know what, this isn't going to work, let's trade him, right? Like, at least now I have a guy that I can trust to say, hey, if Doc Rivers says this can't work, then I'm going to take his word for it, you know?
Yeah, he's been through the ups and downs in different franchises, and he's reached some pretty high heights as far as a coach, and, I mean, let alone as a – you know, being that ex-NBA player who was a very good player, he's got that pedigree. Just he knows the game. I mean, you know, you were the Clippers coach. I mean, that team fell apart, but you threw them together, and it was a quirky postseason.
Yep. Yeah. Give us your overrated sports play, Scott.
Kirk Gibson's home run against Oakland. Bad hip, bad knee. I don't care, man. It's a walk-off of all walk-offs. It's the greatest home run ever. It was a home run, and it was game one of the World
Series. It was game one. Thanks, Scott. Yeah,
he hurt my heart right there.
So I did a little Google of what people are saying out there as far as what overrated plays are, and that's mentioned a couple of times when you look around.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's a moment that I remember.
Oh, man.
I remember vividly, and I still to this day will get goosebumps listening to the...
And it's one of the best calls of all time.
Isn't that part of it?
Was
the Jack Buck?
I was watching that game live.
Yep. Ben Scully was on the TV call, I believe.
Yep. That game's either the day before my birthday or on my birthday. That's how I always remember it. And I wasn't even rooting for the Dodgers.
But no, I was probably rooting for the A's.
I like the Bash Brother thing.
I did too.
With Canseco and McGuire, Ricky Henderson, all those guys.
Was
man.
That the series that with the earthquake?
No, that was the next year.
That was the next year, all right.
With San Francisco.
Yeah, because Al Michaels was on that call, actually, if I remember correctly.
And Gibson is a Spartan.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk Gibson won a title with the Tigers.
Yes, let me give you my Gibson
1984.
Story. It takes 10 seconds.
You got one?
Yep, senior year. He's back at State for homecoming. I don't know if he's a part of the parade or whatever the hell they're doing for homecoming prior to the game. He's staying in the team hotel with us. Even got him a room on the damn players' floor. He's on the floor where the players are. So, I don't know. At some point, it's about 11 o'clock. Kirk Gibson is running through the hallway in his underwear, man. And a beer in his hand.
I was just going to.
Yeah, a beer in his hand, running through the hallway, stopped in the room to say what's up, and let a couple out when he left out.
Oh, sweet.
He did the whole go out there tomorrow, boys, do your thing, and another on the way out the door on purpose. Take that with you.
That's a great Kirk Gibson
story. That's my only Kirk Gibson story I have. That's my only time I ever met him.
There you go. He made an impression.
Did you guys win?
It's a good question. I think we did. Yeah, I think we did.
You were inspired?
No, I was just, I was more or less like.
I would have been disgusted.
Well, I had a freshman rooming with me because they put freshmen with seniors. So I had a freshman rooming with me. He had no idea who the hell Kirk Gibson was. And I'm like, dude, that's Gibby, World Series hero. Be honored that he just let gas off in our room. Because he was mad. He was like, who is this, man? Old guy coming.
You tried to
here.
Bottle it up to keep it, right?
Try to sell it?
I wasn't there trying to catch it myself, but I'm saying, though, part of me was like.
Well, it's a better story that he did that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And that's a true story.
That's awesome.
That's a true story.
Never heard that one out of you before. That's a great story.
Because Gibson doesn't come up that often.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, we don't really ever talk about
so
Kirk
you have
Gibson.
Great stories like that that we just need to bring up.
It has to trigger
athlete.
Me, yes. Because half of them I don't remember until somebody brings something up, yeah.
Mark Sinarisal, 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. So we started this overrated discussion because Jack Fritz said, that yesterday in 1954, the famous Willie Mays catch was overrated. So far, Jack has said Will Chamberlain didn't score 100 points, and,
right.
and Willie Mays' his catch was overrated.
I got another overrated play for you.
We got
Michael Jordan's switching the hand.
Correct.
Layup he did against the Lakers in 91. I mean, come on, bro. I mean, first of all, it was unnecessary for you to do that. Nobody went up to block the shot. You made it more difficult than it needed to be. And quite frankly, it was early in the game. It wasn't really significant. And it may – I don't know if it happened in game one or game two because they lost game one. It may have come in the game that they lost.
Oh, is that right?
They lost game one to the Lakers that year in his first trip to the finals, but they went on and won the next four. I don't remember what game that play happened in, but everybody remembers the famous switching of the hands and reverse on the rim.
He tries to explain it that he thought the shot was going to get blocked, so that's why in midair he switched hands to avoid it from being blocked. He had to make it look even better than it originally was.
Right.
He never stops this stuff, man. But Gary in Philly disagrees with Jack Fritz. Gary, how are you, buddy?
How you doing?
Hi, Gary.
I just have to say that I watched Willie Mays play since 1958. And that catch that he made was in the World Series. It turned the series around for the Giants.
Mm.
That's right, Jack.
And for that guy, I don't know who is your producer, to say that that's an overrated catch. It was rated as the greatest play in the history of baseball.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
And it just bugs me because there's a guy that never saw the great Willie Mays play. I watched him play many, many years, and there's not a guy in baseball today that could shine his shoes. I can tell you that right now.
He thinks Aaron Rowan's a better defensive player than Willie Mays because he didn't see any of these guys.
Aaron Rowan, because Mays would have made that catch and would have broken his nose at the same time. That's for sure. But I just had to call because for him to say that was an overrated play in the World Series that turned the series around for the Giants in 1954 against the Cleveland Indians, hit by Vic Wertz.
What was the situation in the game?
That was the eighth inning. It was a tie game, a 2-2. There
were
two men on, and Willie Mays made the catch that saved the runs, and then the Giants won the game in the ninth inning.
Wow.
Oh, man, I love it, Gary. Thank you for straightening out that young guy.
Because Willie Mays does not get the credit that he really deserves. He's 90 years old almost, and he is, forget about Barry Bonds, he never took steroids.
That's right.
Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player. If anybody ever saw him play, and I hope some more callers will call in about Willie Mays, he is the greatest, most exciting ball player of all time. That's all I can tell you.
Love it.
Love it, Gary. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
got
buddy.
It.
Love it, Gary.
Yeah, Jack.
You know, I used to come by practice when I played with the Falcons.
Hmm.
What's even a Willie Mays story for us?
No, Hank Aaron.
Wow. Now that is very cool.
Yeah, Hank Aaron used to come by practice time to time when I was down there. Yeah, he was a big football fan. And, man, I was like, dude, y'all got Hank Aaron coming out here to practice? Seriously, Hank Aaron? Man, that you're talking about meeting somebody and not knowing what the hell to say. And it's like meeting Kareem. Like some of these guys you meet, you only know them from your childhood and from highlights.
Yeah,
so
sure.
You see Hank Aaron, it's like you don't even know what to say, Mr. Aaron. And he's like, no, call me Hank. Okay, Mr. Aaron.
I can't even do it. Yeah, I've seen you like that a couple times.
Yeah, but that's royalty right there.
Yeah, there's a difference between like Dan Marino for you was like you were like Dan Marino.
Yes, that's my kid. Yes,
Hank Aaron. You were probably like you didn't even know what to do he's one of the all-time greats.
It's like meeting Babe Ruth. I mean, Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, holy cow.
Meanwhile, Jack Fritz.
Did Hank Aaron do what Kirk Gibson did when you met him?
No.
And meanwhile, Jack Fritz did the exact same thing, but it was Rich Doobie that he didn't want to talk to. He was starstruck.
You try seeing Rich Doobie at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Of all the people he gets starstruck at the Hall of Fame, Rich Doobie.
Meanwhile, I think I saw Ozzie Smith and let out an overrated walking past him.
Yeah.
Knowing you, he probably did.
I couldn't hit.
All right, so let me give you one. Is the immaculate reception an overrated play?
No.
Okay. These are the
somebody threw that out there.
Oh, a lot of people did.
Really?
Yeah.
What about?
I can't call that one overrated.
No, it's iconic.
Yeah, I can't call that one overrated.
What about this one?
You want Philly Philly?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
No.
You're such a Foles hater, man.
That is not overrated.
He was waiting to get that out there. He wanted to put that out there bad.
He's had that wait. He's had yes. that ready to go. Uncle Jamie checked in with the Stanford Cardinal band, Stanford Cal.
Yeah.
Where the band is on the field.
Yeah, John Elway, yeah.
Like,
is it overrated?
No one thinks of it as a great play. It's just unique.
Well, it does. When it gets referenced, if something happens. Yeah, so it's like it is an iconic play.
Do you have that, Jack?
What was that for? The Peach Bowl or something? What was that?
I don't even know. I just know as like a young kid, it was like, yeah, the guy's out there with the bass, with the drum.
Band's on the field.
With the drum, and he's getting trucked by him.
Yeah.
Try to squib it, and he does. Ball comes loose, and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going into the end zone. The Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
There you go.
Definitely overrated, though.
Guess who was on the field involved in that play?
Elway, right?
No, that's the kickoff. That was a kickoff, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was that a kickoff return or was
that a play? Yeah, that was a kickoff
return. That's what I thought, yeah. So, my old coach, Ron Rivera.
Was on the field for that?
He played for Cal.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's out there on the field for that play. Yeah, he used to talk about it at times. Like, I didn't know it, obviously, until he was coaching us, but he brought it up, yeah.
So John Elway, late in the fourth quarter, he picks up a 4th-and-17 for a 29-yard completion, but he called a timeout too early. He could have let the clock go down to, like, 3 seconds and then called the timeout. He called the timeout with 8 seconds.
Yeah.
So they kicked the field goal just enough time for the kickoff.
Right.
To where they kick it off and then that happens.
He's not clutch.
Oh, that was the book on Elway for years, man. For years.
Wow. I didn't know what led up to that. Yeah, I didn't know that part.
No, all you know is that it was a kickoff and the band was on the field celebrating.
Yes.
The band is on the field. Let's go to, is it Keyshav in Ben Salem? What's up? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys going? How are you guys doing?
How are you?
How you pronounce your name? Is it Keyshav?
No, Keyshav.
Oh, Keyshav.
Keyshav.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, what was it? Oh, yeah. So, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I want to just say something. In this last game, Greg Ward, undrafted. Deontay Burnett, we just promoted him from the practice squad. And John Hightower, like a 6th-round pick. All had more receptions than him. And, we keep saying, like Doug said, oh, he's going to have a bigger role. It's clearly not showing.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to JJ prior to the game. We noticed this on the pregame show here. I think John Clark had tweeted it out prior to the game when he was out there talking to Howie Roseman and some other personnel people. But then once he was still active, we kind of felt like, okay, well, maybe it wasn't some sort of injury situation. It was something else. But it come to find out, there was an injury issue, but they needed him because of the other guys that were down, that they basically, without admitting this to us, they needed him to run block. They needed him to be out there because you need receivers to be able to block on the perimeter. And he's probably one of the bigger receivers, stronger receivers. Deshaun's not a great blocker on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Hightower doesn't know his you-know-what from his you-know-what out there on the field. And who else do you have? Greg Ward, he's not a big guy. So they needed JJ. It's kind of like the Mac Hollins thing. Special teams guy, a guy that's used to blocking. So you need him out there in the run plays.
Mm. So in other words, they knew that he wasn't likely to get open or anything like that.
Probably
he was injured.
Probably told Carson, listen, he can't run. Don't even worry about throwing the ball to him if he's out there doing a pass play. I'd be surprised.
That's awesome.
Now, we would have to go back and look. I don't know how many plays J.J. was out there for that were pass plays.
Yeah, good point.
Like, we say he played X amount of snaps, but were they all running plays?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if he was out there running routes.
Well, that's an issue and a problem.
Yes.
If one of your wide receivers isn't even a consideration. I mean, maybe even if he's healthy, it doesn't seem like he's a consideration.
Well, I'm just saying, for Sunday, he injured himself in the pregame.
Of course he did.
Well,
sure he did.
Of course he did, Ike. Guy at the Door and Window, 20% off all windows and doors.
I'm not defending JJ anymore, man.
No money down, up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call Guy at the Door and Window today, 877-GO-GUIDA. Or visit goguida.com. So, breakout season, Sidney Jones didn't get a chance.
Didn't work.
JJ's over.
Didn't work.
How about Barnett?
Derek Barnett's looked pretty good.
I'm out.
You're out on Barnett?
For Barnett's sake, I'm out.
Okay, good.
Maybe he can't. Yeah, everybody else I've cursed. Yeah, I'm out.
He had a sack on Sunday. Second half, maybe. I don't know.
Well, who didn't get a sack Sunday? They ought to be in trouble.
Good point.
Didn't everybody get a sack Sunday?
Everybody did.
Even Orlando Scandrick.
Well, Jalen Mills had a sack and a half.
That's right.
All right.
Mills physical Sunday.
I believe, and this is from Big Voight. He messaged me on Instagram. He says that Babe Ruth's point in 1932 is overrated.
Correct. Here we go.
And it's the Jack Fritz. There's no real proof that it happened.
There is no real proof it happened. It's all just folklore. I mean, seriously, we're going to go off of old people that were sitting there all game like, oh, yeah, sure, he pointed. We don't know where he's pointing.
What is your deal with the
elder people? Because we have no idea where Babe Ruth was pointing. And we're going off 30,000 people that were there that day.
Might have been pointing to a woman in the stands or something, right?
Like, we have no idea what Babe Ruth was pointing at.
So there you go. Overrated.
The hot dog stand, he could have been pointing at that. The beer stand.
So between Babe Ruth and Wilt Chamberlain, we shouldn't believe anything, Nate, that
nope.
that
total frauds, right, Jack?
Before the internet, you never know.
And he also says the Curt Schilling bloody sock. That's not one play, but it's still.
Hey, I'm skeptical on that one.
I think it was
ketchup.
With Kurt, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Or some type of Halloween blood or something. I was a little skeptical on that one with Kurt.
You weren't alone. Let's go to Sean in Florida. Sean, how are you, buddy? What's up?
Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Hi, Sean.
What's up, Sean?
Good. Ike, man, I'm so disappointed in you, man. But
what happened?
Here's the thing, right? Wade, you pretty much hit it on the money, so I don't want to spend too much time on this. Right before Brian Baldy came on, mm-hmm. I think what Wade was speaking to, one of the callers, about how Carson Wentz, I don't know how last year he got so much credit for what he did with the injured receiving corps when he put all of them on the shelf. Like, I get tired how people, when it comes to Carson Wentz, the narrative changes. Like, right now, this dude looks worse than I've ever seen. Like, and I've been saying this in his MVP year. So I'm not one of the guys that's been saying this just last year or the year before. I said it in his MVP, and I'm sorry if I get passionate about this, but where were you guys? Where was everybody when I was saying this? In his MVP year, it was a combination
what
of
what were you
he
saying?
Did
hold on. What were you saying in his MVP year? What were you saying?
I was pissed because although he was playing good, he still had mistakes that he was making that he needed to capitalize on. What that was him throwing the ball in rhythm with the receivers, like putting the ball out in front of them where they can make yards after the catch. If you look at Zach Ertz, he gets judged compared to George Kittle's and the other tight end, Kelsey. And you can't even look at his yards after catch because that's a quarterback thing. The quarterback has to put it in front of the receiver for the receivers to catch it. Alshon Jeffrey, if you look at Alshon Jeffrey, people want to talk about how he's injury prone and he can't play. That's fine. You can say he can't play. No, you can say he's old and he gets injured, but don't say he can't play. He's a jump ball 50-50 receiver. If you're a quarterback that knows how to throw the ball and get him the ball, he can exceed. He never had one good year playing for the Eagles in all the 4 years that he's been here under Carson Wentz. You know when he did, though? You know when he played good? I'm sure you guys know.
Yeah.
My second question is,
Hold on. Let me answer that. He played good when he had Brandon Marshall on the other side as the number one wide receiver. And he had Jay Cutler. And he had Matt Forte as a running back. And I forget the tight end they had. I think it was Martellus Bennett they had at that time. They were a very good team. You know how I know they were a very good team? Because I watched them put 54 up on the Eagles on a Monday Night Football game in the Link.
Okay. I mean –
that's the last time he was a good receiver.
He was going to say with Nick Foles.
Yeah, I know he was, but the point is that's a game or two. What about for a season? The last time Alshon Jeffrey was a top 10, top 12, top 15, top 20 receiver is when he had a legit number one guy on the other side who drew all the coverage. He's always been a number two.
You're saying that, but I'm saying a jump ball receiver like that, you can't say. You can't look at
he's
him.
A
like
number
and say,
two
he's a number
that's
two.
Slow. You he's a number bro. Two. When's the last time he had 1,000 yards in a year in a season?
But look at the quarterbacks he's played with, Jay Cutler and Carson Wentz.
Well, who does he
Carson
need?
Carson Wentz, since he's been in the league, has not had deep ball ability. That's
Hold on. Alshon Jeffrey had his best year with Jay Cutler.
No, I get you, but he's still Jay Cutler, Ike, and you know that, bro. Still Jay Cutler.
If he got Joe Montana, he's Jerry Rice, you're saying.
Right.
Sean.
Huh?
He's Jerry Rice if he gets a good quarterback.
I'm not saying he's that good, but I'm saying your quarterback also has something to do with how good the receiver is. Like, Alshon Jeffrey, we all knew. Don't get me – I'm sure all of us know Alshon Jeffrey's not a burner. But how he excels is if you throw him a touch ball, right, in the air and you throw it, right, he will catch it. And if you look at Carson Wentz, even if you look at the Nelson Aguilar, like Wade was right. If you look at the pass to Nelson Aguilar last year on against the Falcons, dude gets a concussion because he throws it hella high into the end zone. Same thing with
All right. We got you. Thank you.
You can't give me Alshon, bro. You can't give me Alshon. When you can make an argument that maybe Alshon, his best years came being opposite another number one, where he wasn't the number one guy, or dare I say, hold on, didn't Alshon get suspended for PEDs?
Mm-hmm.
That's on record, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Four games.
All I'm saying is, like, you don't tell me about Alshon and how great he was. That's been a while since Alshon was even looked at as one of those type of receivers.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been a few years.
As far as what he's saying about Carson not necessarily like leading him perfectly or any receiver perfectly, I mean, I think that's a valid criticism.
Yeah, no, we already know that though. I mean, we got no argument with that. Right. You can't give me Alshon and somehow Carson is holding Alshon back.
Could have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, like that's basically what he was trying to say.
Even Jack doesn't try that anymore. Remember?
I mean, Alshon's a wide receiver one. Stop.
When has he ever been?
2017, he was their go-to guy.
He was the Eagles' best wide receiver?
Yeah, 2017.
Oh, literal wide receiver, but not the best receiver.
Yes, wide receiver. Okay. He's a wide receiver one. Zach Ertz was
All I'm saying is when Nelson Aguilar and Torrey Smith are the other two receivers, Alshon should be better.
Well, and he was brought here as the wide receiver one. They won the Super Bowl, and he performed as a wide receiver one that year. That's what he was.
Like Greg Ward right now is wide receiver one.
No, but we can know the difference between Greg Ward and Alshon Jeffrey in 2017. Are we just going to poo-poo his 2017?
No, I mean, he had a good
year. What did he do in 2017?
He had a good year.
He played a whole year on Antoine Redtjercuff and caught the ball in the Super Bowl.
800 yards?
Showed up in the end zone.
He had 9 touchdowns. He had a good year, but let's not go over.
Yeah, that's not it. Yeah.
800 yards and 9 TDs is nothing to sniff at. I would take that right now.
But that's not a number one wide receiver, Jack.
Exactly. But that's what he's a wide receiver one on the Eagles team.
But that speaks more to the talent around him as opposed to how many receivers would you take in the NFL over Alshon Jeffrey?
Right now? 60?
And back then it was like 20? 15 to 20?
The guy got a one-year deal, bro.
Yeah, because he had a PED suspension the year before.
And a hamstring pull.
I know.
And what else?
I don't know what else.
Well, his best years came when there was other talent around him. When he was the guy, he had issues being the guy.
I didn't think we were going to get an Alshon Jeffrey truther today, to be honest.
I didn't anticipate that either, but we're just going to poo-poo it 900 yards and nine touchdowns.
That sounds like a tight end to me.
With a torn rotator cuff.
That sounds like a tight end to me.
Jack, it was a good year. The problem is that you have to make the case that he's a number one wide receiver.
Right, that's the problem.
Because you can't help yourself. But that he's not a number one wide receiver. He wasn't then. He's not now.
No, he's number three now.
He was their best wide receiver, sure. So technically, if that makes him the number one wide receiver, then fine. He was the number one wide receiver.
I remember when James Thrash was a wide receiver.
Took the words out of my mouth. Greg
Ward. No, James Thrash and Alshon Jeff are the same level when they played.
James Thrash had eight touchdowns in 2000.
No, thank you.
No, let's open up our eyes a little bit. This is insane. This is insane.
To be a number one wide receiver, you need to be a high volume guy. Alshon's never been a high volume guy. He's a good player. Right, but James Thrash actually in 2001 had 833 yards, more than Alshon, and eight touchdowns, one less touchdown. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver number one, Ike? NFC Championship game.
Hey.
Who was the better player, James Thrash or Alshon Jeffery?
Alshon Jeffery.
Thank you. Okay, that's okay.
But they were both wide receiver ones. Coming up.
Kevin Curtis? Just get his yards up here.
Now, that game against where they were just the Rams
Detroit.
Looking jerseys. Yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah, that's a great game.
What?
We all know, and we both of you agree with me, Alshon Jeffery, best receiver on this team since T.O.
No.
What?
No, DeSean Jackson.
What?
Stop. DeSean Jackson. Jeremy Maclin.
Right.
Stop. What are you doing?
Raleigh. No.
Yeah, stop. No. Nah. Come on, man. What are you talking about here?
Hell.
I mean, I didn't go Kevin Curtis or Dante Stallworth, right? I thought about it.
Reggie Brown.
Reggie Brown that one year.
I mean, this is just sad.
So coming up, well, at least Alshon has won.
Jason Avant.
Well, by the way, we know if Jack Fritz comes out with inside information on Carson, we know where it came from.
Yes, you Alshon truther.
That's for sure.
Justina Fritz?
Yes.
So Wednesdays at 5:25-ish, we play Stump the Millennial. So we're looking for caller number 6 to our contest line, which is 215-988-1258. 215-988-1258. 1258. You're playing for a chance to win a Primo's gift card. The millennial is Jack Fritz. If we stump him, or you guess if he gets it correctly, you win. We'll do that coming up next. Mark Sinriso, 94 WIP.